Good morning. It's great to see all of you this morning. Glad that you're here. Glad to have the church family together. Glad to have visitors with us today. And it's good to see each other, isn't it? It's good to be together. Thank God for the love of the Father. He reaches out to us and takes care of us continually. He has provided an eternal Savior. And because of Jesus, we have hope to carry us through each day and into eternity. Do you ever have problems? Do you ever have expectations regarding those problems? Many of you know Sally had a couple of tests at the hospital this last week, a couple of scopes to deal with. So Sally and I want to thank you for your prayers and support as she went through these procedures this last week. This was a follow-up from several months ago. She had a scope several months ago, and the doctor saw something, an irregular growth, he thought. It wasn't critical, but he expected that with a little bit of time, he might see some differences, some things there. So he had scheduled Sally for this follow-up. Sally began the preparations 2 days before, changing her diet. And many of you who've gone through various scopes, you understand this. You have to change everything. You don't get to eat what you think you want to eat. And pretty soon you're down to just liquids, and then pretty soon nothing. And just as she expected, she was hungry. And none of you ever have this experience of getting hangry on some things. Kind of things just are a little upsetting sometimes. And so she made it through that. The day came. And fortunately, the day before, we expected to have a long waiting period the next day for her to get to her turn. Well, it turns out somebody canceled and Sally's appointment got moved to the very first in the morning. Changing our expectations. And so she went in, and first in line, the doctor expected to find this irregularity and to take a biopsy to figure out what was going on. And he searched and searched and couldn't find it. It was gone. Praise God. And so thank you again for your prayers. God still heals. God still takes care of us, doesn't he? So after she finished the procedure, came through recovery, she got dressed, came out, I took her, and the first thing on her mind was what? She wants to eat. She wants food, and she started talking about all the different things she wanted to eat, and she said, no, I can't have that, I can't have this. You know what sounds good? I think I want a McDonald's fish sandwich. And she was telling me all about it, and as I was driving down to the McDonald's, I drove in and came into the to the line and looked at the menu for the number for the fish sandwich, and it wasn't there. We had finished so early in the morning that they were still serving breakfast, and all of her expectations of eating a fish sandwich were dashed to the ground. Now what am I going to eat? She finally picked out something, we got it, and it did not meet her expectations. It didn't taste like a fish sandwich would have tasted. And so we went on home, and she managed to survive and get back onto an eating schedule. All of us deal with good and bad expectations, don't we? It happens to us all day long. There are some things we expect to happen that are good, and some things we expect, if this happens, it's not going to be too good. Sometimes our expectations are a little bit confusing. There was a preacher who had finished preaching a week-long revival service, talking about the importance of putting Jesus in first place and how Jesus answers all of the problems in your life. And he was just going on every evening preaching about the importance of Jesus. And Jesus is important, isn't he? Amen? And so it finally came to the day after the revival. It was a Saturday morning, and he had some free time to play with his children, young children. And he was joking around with them, and he decided to pull a riddle on him. And he said, what's gray and is bushy and gathers nuts and saves them for the fall? And his children kind of looked at him and said, the oldest one said, well, I know the answer is supposed to be Jesus, but it sounds like a squirrel to me. You know, when we preachers, we kind of get carried away and we focus on Jesus and promote Jesus. And is Jesus always the answer for every question? No. Sometimes when you come to the question of what's 2 plus 2, well, the answer is definitely what? Some of you are still not sure. 4. But for the challenges of life, when those challenges of our spiritual hardships come, we need to be turning to Jesus and finding our hope and our help in Jesus. When the days are going good, who should we be celebrating? Jesus. He has given us this day. Our text in John is a record of some of the final commands and instructions of Jesus to his disciples. The apostles were gathered. They had already finished the institution of the Lord's Supper. And Jesus was giving them final teachings, because what was about ready to happen? Jesus knew that he would be giving his life to be crucified. And he's trying to instruct the disciples. He's been with them for over 3 years at this point, teaching them, helping them understand God's will, God's expectations, correcting the misunderstandings of what men were teaching and what men expected to happen. And Jesus is saying, no, this is what really will happen. This is what you need to expect. And then he's preparing them for what will happen after he leaves the earth. What do you expect? From the world's perspective, here the Messiah is, the Son of David, the King. He's certainly going to drive out the enemies and everything's going to be perfect. Everything's going to be hunky-dory, right? Wrong. Jesus says there are some things you need to get ready for. You need to prepare yourself for what the reality will be. This is what you need to expect. Before we read this text, let's go to God in prayer and ask him for his guidance. Thank you, Father, for your goodness. Thank you for grace and mercy that carries us through each and every day. Thank you for the hope and the promise that you give to us, because we serve the risen Lord, Jesus Christ. Thank you for the promise and the expectation of his return in power and glory and majesty, the promise of a perfect eternity. Father, we ask for your help to deal with our daily challenges, to remember to put our expectations in you and your hope and your strength, your power, your deliverance. Guide us in these next few moments as we look at just a small portion of your word. And Father, help us to make the proper adjustments if we are out of step with your will and your directions. Help us to focus our will upon your will, that your will be done in our lives, that we would be found faithful and true and receive your reward. Guide us and direct us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Picking up in John chapter 15, starting at verse 18 through the end of that chapter and into the beginning of chapter 16, reading from the New American Standard Translation, we find, if the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would not have sin. But now they have both seen and hated me and my Father as well. But they have done this to fulfill the word that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me, and you will testify also, because you have been with me from the beginning. These things I have spoken to you, so that you may be kept from stumbling. They will make you outcasts from the synagogue. But an hour is coming for everyone who kills you to think that he is offering service to God. These things they will do because they have not known the Father or me. But these things I have spoken to you so that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told you of them. These things I did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you. What do you expect? Jesus is preparing his disciples. Get ready. Things are going to get rough. I've given you the Spirit. The Spirit is coming. He will help you. He'll be with you. I will be with you always. But you need to be expecting bad things. The first point in this, there are several expectations that are dealt with here by Jesus, but I've picked out three points here. The first is Jesus' disciples are to expect hatred from the world. Hatred from the people. You know, when you do something nice for people around you, what do you expect? You kind of expect kindness to return. But Jesus says, you're going to go out and do good things. God's things. What are you supposed to expect? Expect hatred. Hatred. It's unreasonable, but that is what you need to expect. Jesus is not saying that the physical earth, this physical earth, hates the disciples when he talks about the world. He is referring to the people who have rejected God's truth and are enslaved to Satan, who is called the ruler of this world. Several passages, Jesus refers to Satan, the ruler of this world. Now, a lot of people say, well, I thought God was in control of everything. God is in control of everything. But he has granted temporary rulership of the world to Satan. It's part of our trials. Brother Ted read the passage from James chapter 1. We are to expect trials, and those trials help strengthen us, help build us up spiritually if we handle them with God's help. But in the meantime, what happens if we don't put our trust in God? We fall further into the trap of Satan. Satan's hatred for God's people is never ending. We start clear back in Genesis. The Genesis account indicates that neither Eve nor Adam expected to be tested by the serpent. Did God say, one of these days, a serpent is going to meet you, Eve, and he's going to be wound around that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and he is going to tell you this? Do we read that in the Scripture? No. God just specifically told them, he warned them, to avoid this one tree. Don't eat from it. Enough was said. Now they had never expected, never experienced a temptation before. But they did have the rule. and they knew what the rule was. So when the serpent did test Eve, what was her response? She knew the rule. But she had a choice to make. And she, and then Adam, both chose inappropriately. They sinned. They broke the one rule. And that has affected all of mankind ever since. God's rule was to prepare Adam and Eve for the unexpected lies. He did not tell them that they would have a lie to face, but he had told them what the rule was, and God expected them to follow his rule. The Prince of Lies continues tempting us to learn the things that are forbidden. How many times do we hear, well, you need to learn more, you need to learn more. Don't make judgment on something until you actually read it and experience it yourself. That's like telling somebody, why don't you go find out what it's like to jump off of a cliff? I remember one of the excuses of the kids. Growing up, you've heard this excuse. Well, all my friends are doing it. Would you jump off a cliff if your friends are doing it? Have you ever had that argument with your children? Or maybe with yourself? Hopefully not. I think you figured it out because you're all here. God warns us. He gives us specific rules and guidelines for our benefit. And we are expected by God to follow His directions. The Bible reveals a nonstop battle between good and evil. God is temporarily allowing Satan to be the prince of this world. We are already told what the outcome is. God will destroy Satan. But for the meantime, we still have to deal with Satan. God has repeatedly warned people about the serpent's corruption, but the prince of evil still deceives the majority of humanity. Satan lures people with the temporary pleasures we experience through our senses and through our twisted beliefs. People blindly continue to fall for these lies over and over again, generation after generation, even as it causes trouble, even as it causes problems in our lives. The idea behind it is, if it feels good, do it. And God says, no, don't follow your feelings. Follow what is righteous. Do we listen to God? What does the scripture say? All of us have sinned. All of us choose poorly too many times. The world hated Jesus, the master of salvation. Satan promoted hatred towards the whole nation of Israel, but God preserved them. King Herod's jealousy, his sin, caused the slaughter of the babies in Bethlehem as Joseph fled with his little family into the region of Egypt. Jesus encountered hatred from all of his enemies through all of his ministry, and he is warning his disciples, it's going to happen to you. If you follow me and my directions, the world will hate you. Get ready. With Satan's consistent record of fighting God's will, God's plan, the Lord prepares all of his disciples for what they are to expect. What we are to expect. We think that as Americans, I've got my rights. But there's a different battle going on. There's a spiritual war going on. Are we standing up for the truths of Jesus Christ, His Word, God's Word? It's going to put us at odds with the majority of even our American culture. Expect it. If you want to get along with the world, just do what the world says. But if you want eternal life, expect some hatred directed at you. Jesus told us to expect it. The disciples of Jesus are to expect persecution. Satan was not just a liar and a deceiver. He is our adversary who seeks to destroy us like a hungry lion, described in 1 Peter. Satan was the force behind all of the evil of men and of nature in the destruction of Job's children, his servants, his property, the problems that the nation of Israel faced in Egypt, the death of all their children, the death of generations of slaves. Did God want His people to be suffering? No. But the Scripture describes it as the preparation, the furnace of testing to see if the people would put their trust in God. The devil is the father of evil people who cause harm. All people imitate and develop the nature of those that they follow. Jesus repeatedly confronted the Jewish leaders on this point. Specifically in John 8:44, he got into this discussion, or some would call it an argument, with the leaders of the Jews. They claim to be children of Abraham, children of God. And Jesus said, no, God's not your father. You're not doing the things of the Father. You're trying to destroy. If they were children of God, they should think and act like God. But instead, they were lying, they were deceiving, they were plotting, they were scheming, and they were planning to murder Jesus. Anybody who got in their way, what did they do? Oh, they used the better term. We'll just eliminate them. No, it's murder. It's slaughter. It's killing. Satan gladly uses physical suffering to stop his foes. But God limits him as to how much he can abuse, how much pain he can cause, how much suffering he may inflict. We see this recorded in the case of Job. Job chapter 1, chapter 2. Go back and read it. Job was protected by God as to how far Satan could go. Jesus warned Peter. Luke chapter 22. Satan has asked permission to sift you like wheat. But what did Jesus say? But I have prayed for you. What is Jesus doing right now in heaven? He's pleading for all of His followers at the right hand of God. He's our intermediary. He's presenting each of our cases before God and protecting us from the powers of Satan in things that we can't handle. He won't allow us to go through the things that we cannot handle. What is the Spirit doing within us? He's helping us. He's strengthening us to face the challenges. The big question is, are we looking to God? Are we praying to Jesus? Are we asking for help from the Spirit? Or are we trying to handle it on our own? Too many times we try to do it all on our own. That's what our culture says. Be tough, right? Be macho. You can handle it. Pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. We can't do it. That's why Jesus came. So, where do we put our trust? We will be tried. We will be facing physical challenges. Satan is out to get us. We will suffer. We've really been protected in America. A lot of our Christian brothers and sisters in faith around the world are being physically abused, tortured, and killed. Are you ready to face it? It could happen. What guarantees us that we have this freedom in America? If God removes His protection, I'll use a phrase, we could be sitting ducks. Are you ready for it? The third point, God converts persecution to a spiritual bodybuilding class. What? God will use our suffering for our good if we put our trust in Him. Remember the James passage Brother Ted just read earlier? 1 Peter chapter 1 talks about it. The Apostle Paul talks about it over and over again through his writings. Jesus tells us that it will help us to grow if we put our trust in Him. Jesus knows our limitations, and He helps us bear our burdens. That's what He's promised in Matthew chapter 11. We have God's armor. What is the armor of God? Ephesians chapter 6. The Word of God. We have His Spirit. And we have each other. We have each other. What did I just say? We have each other. How much are we helping each other, loving each other in our times of struggles? We do need to share our burdens with each other and lift each other up. But our true strength is in God through Jesus Christ. But if we're not doing the job that we're supposed to be doing, then we're failing part of the mission. Jesus was preparing all of His disciples to enter into the deadly spiritual warfare that also affects our spiritual lives, our physical lives, everything about us. Will we be ready? The enemies of Jesus are to expect the wrath of God. It may look like the bad people are winning, but no. Who's the victor? The right answer is Jesus, not a squirrel. Okay, don't get that mixed up. Jesus is the winner. He's already conquered the power of the grave. He's conquered the power of death. He is the living Lord. He's reigning to never die again. The Scriptures are very clear that every human is guilty of sin and deserves to die. However, Jesus came to prove the love and the grace of God to all who would look to Him, seek in Him, and trust in Him and obey Him. Jesus died as the final payment for how much sin? All sin. Your sin, my sin, the neighbor's sin, the people around the world, the Chinese, the Russians, the South Americans, South Africans, everybody. Jesus paid it all. And because of Jesus, we have hope. But to reject Jesus is to reject God's gift of life and redemption that He offers to everybody. The enemies of Christ hate God and all that He controls. We were told this in verse 23. Jesus talked about it in a previous passage. He said, I'm the good shepherd, and my sheep hear my voice. Those who are His sheep, followers, will follow Him. What about the rest of the world? They become haters of Jesus and His people. They don't want anything to do with it. God sifts us to determine whether or not we really love Him and His Son, Jesus the Savior. So we're at this battle with the world, with those who follow Satan. These people have joined ranks with Satan and the powers of darkness in a battle that they cannot and will not win. They may appear to be winning in the world, the physical world, But in the long run, they are losers. They will be destroyed. And we need to remember that. It may look like you're losing through your suffering, your hardship, your challenges. No, you're winning when you put your faith and trust in the King of Life. He's promised you an eternity. Satan did not realize that the death of the Christ would seal his eternal doom. Where is Satan headed for? Is he headed for heaven? No, the scripture is very clear. He's headed for the lake of fire, for hell. And who's going to join Satan? All who have obeyed him, who followed him. All who follow Satan will also suffer his eternal destruction with him and all the powers of evil in the darkness. Jesus clearly fulfilled all the prophecies of the promised Savior. The Old Testament consistently taught people to expect a Savior from God, but the sinfulness of men reinterpreted those prophecies into self-serving expectations. They wanted a physical king to make them rich, to make them prosperous, to make them powerful and to dominate over other people, to be oppressive to other people. Is that the kind of Savior Jesus came to be? No. He came to teach us the ways of God, love from pure hearts, joy, peace, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, all the nature of God. What do we hunger after? Are we hungering after the ways of God or the ways of the world? Who is our master, God or Satan? The teachings of Jesus are all based upon the Old Testament. He never violated the law of God as he decimated the hypocrisy of the corrupt leadership. But they still refused to repent. They still sided with Satan, their father. The miracles of Jesus proved he was God incarnate. Just as Moses overwhelmed the magicians of Egypt by divine miracles, Jesus proved he was the Son of God and the Son of Man, the Savior of humanity. Just as the demons fled from the bodies of those possessed when Jesus commanded them to leave, the perfect, all-powerful Son of God, the Holy God, will drive all evil away into the lake of fire. They will be condemned forever. Those who reject Jesus had better start expecting hell forever. We need to warn the people around us. They only have two options. You can have life through Jesus Christ and obey Him, or you will receive the punishment that Satan and all evil receives. Those are the only two options. The scripture is very clear. Again, I ask, which father are you serving? Have you made Jesus your master, your Savior? If not, don't delay. Obey His commands. Make Him your Savior. Jesus has promised to give His servants eternal blessings, eternal freedom, eternal salvation, and He's coming back to fulfill that promise. He may come back today. He may not show up for another 1,000 years. But we need to be ready either way. And the only way we can be ready is by obeying His commands today. Don't believe the expectations of the false teachers. Don't be discouraged. Jesus encourages us. He's overcome, and we can overcome through Jesus Christ. Amen? Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, we thank You for Jesus Christ. We thank You for the teachings of the Scriptures. Help us to commit our ways to You through Jesus, to be obedient to the Scriptures, the commands of Jesus Christ, to love as You have called us to love, to obey as You have called us to obey. Thank You for the words. Help us to continue to read and study more. We've just barely scratched the surface on all of your word in these few moments. I pray that each one here in this room will continue to study, to apply your truths, that they will be led by your Spirit. Help us all to glorify you in our daily living, to truly make Jesus our Savior, to put you in first place, God, as our Father, not to fall for the deception, the sin, the corruption, the lies of Satan, the deceiver. Thank you for hope and strength through Jesus Christ. We praise you in His name. Amen.